Okay, I think I'm on, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna sit, so you guys get to, so I'm going to, whoop, go back. So I'm gonna try to do the whole thing here, but it doesn't always work. It's kind of interesting where I may just skip forward a little bit. But I'm just going to kind of start, and I always start at the point of salvation. So we're going to do a little bit of a review, and the reason I do that is because I'm trying to program you, renew your mind into understanding salvation is the beginning point. It's not an end. It's a beginning. And so that's kind of where I'll start. Just processing a second. So in the whole salvation issue, again, it is a bloodline issue. It's not a behavioral issue. If you focus on behavior and salvation being about you changing your behavior, you're going to be yoked to the works of the law. And when you recognize it's a bloodline issue, and once you enter into that new bloodline and the realities of that bloodline. I feel like I'm really loud. Am I?
You're good.
Okay, I feel like. Once we step into the realities of that bloodline, then behavior, it just will follow suit. And so we've got to recognize that our salvation is about being born again, because we were born in the bloodline of Adam, which is fallen, and now at the rebirth, we're born of God, and we have a new bloodline. So that saying, you must be born again, is really, really true. You must be born again. And a lot of what we deal with here is about sonship, which deals really with relationship and encountering Father in his kingdom. Now, so much of our world today, Christian world, is that everything is by faith, by faith, by faith. We're to believe all these things by faith. Yet in the scriptures, these people had encounters with God. And in that encounter, they were a level of faith was deposited in them so that they could believe and walk out the realities of heaven. And we've kind of got some things a little bit kind of, I don't want to say backwards, but we focus on, oh, it's just by faith. It's just by faith. And it is, but there is an encounter that he wants to have with us so that faith is a substance that's deposited in us. Because most of the time we think of faith as something I muster up and I get all worked up about. And that's not what faith is. Faith is a gift deposited in us by our Father through encounter. Okay, so if we get that, we recognize encounter is good for us. It's necessary to change and be transformed. Encounter is a requirement. We will not be transformed if we don't have encounter with him. Sonship is about being in Christ. You have to be in Christ to be a son, and that goes back to the you must be born again. All right, now we are learning, if you've been around here, you are learning that you are a multi-dimensional being, right? That you are in at least three dimensions at every given moment. Your body is in the dimension of the kingdom of earth. Your soul is in the kingdom of God, and your spirit dwells in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, and I'll show you. I'm going to go to the little diagram. Now, also, one of the things that we're learning here is how to live out of the heavenly realm. Okay, you'll hear us use phrases like this. Now, when I say that, what I mean is that we're learning how to live and move out of the reality of who we are there down here. Okay, that's what living out of heaven means, is the same that I'm up here, I'm functioning that same way down here with no gap. Okay? Now, there's a spiritual principle that what we talk about shows up. Okay? If you talk about negative things will show up. If you talk about positive things will show up. Now, that's just science, okay? That's getting into frequency and that kind of stuff, and I'm not here to do a science lesson. I'm here to teach spiritual principles. Now, there is a spiritual reality that we as sons have to recognize is that we create the world that we live in around us. Okay, now that is, that's a wow, that's cool or crap. I mean, it really is. But if we recognize I can create the world that's around me, whether it's in chaos or whether it's in peace, I get to do that. And what that does is it removes us out of a victim place. And it gives us empowerment. Okay? All right, so Hebrews 11:3 is the word. And it says, by faith, this is the principle. There's a principle here that as sons, we can step into and begin to exercise and live out of. And it says, by faith, we understand the worlds. Notice that's plural. That's a tricky one. Were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were made of things which are... Well, did I say that right? Okay, I'm going to try to slow down. Let me go into a pause there. So by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the things that are not visible is actually what creates this. Okay? So if we believe that reality, then we recognize our thoughts and our words have power in them. All right, now remember, Adam was a living soul. He was sinless, but not perfected. He wasn't perfected yet, because perfected deals with maturity. And really, perfection deals with the end process of maturity, is what perfection is. All right, now, perfection, again, deals with maturity, and it also deals with the original intention of what is created. That's what perfection deals with, because Adam, in perfection, was not ordained to fall. He was never created to fall. He was never created to die. He was never created to go down that path. That was not why he was created. There was an original intention God had for him that we now as the sons are stepping into. Now, mature, if you want a math equation, maturity, because I break everything down to a math, down to math. Maturity equals relationship plus responsibility plus stewardship. And your equation would be R plus R plus S equals M, or M equals RRS. And there's a reason I break everything down to a mathematical equation. All right, now we've talked about this diagram here. And we've talked about the different realms, which they are right there. Those are the realms. Okay, now we see here the kingdom of earth is attached to our body. The kingdom of God is attached to our soul. And the kingdom of heaven, and this up here, is connected to our human spirit. Now, eternity is also down here. Do you know how it gets down here? The word said it was placed in our heart. See, it's always going to go back to the heart. He said, I have placed eternity in your heart. So the heart is the access gate of all these realms. Okay? If you've been around, you've heard me talk about the heart gate and all of what it does. If your heart gate is malfunctioning through a broken heart or you know, trauma to your heart and those kind of things, then you're going to have sometimes, it's not opposition, it's difficulties in moving up and down in those realms. And that deals with the restoration. Oh, go back, where are we? That deals with the restoration of your soul realm. Okay, which we talk quite a lot about. You'll notice in the kingdom of God realm and the kingdom of earth realm, both light and darkness are there. That's where time and space exist. Time is also in the upper realms too. It's just different that it's time down here, but it is time. There's a scripture that says, in heaven it was silent for half an hour. So there is time, it's just not the same as what's here. We are ruled by it here unless you live in a different dimension, okay? So that's that. Now, above the kingdom of God realm and on up deals with realms, that basically those are realms of light. There's no darkness up there. And then you have the day of the what was and the day of what is, and then the age that is to come. Okay, all right, now we have to recognize there's things that are true and there are things that are truth. Now there are things that have happened to us. Every one of us has some trauma or something in our life. Okay, if you're on this earth, you've experienced that. Now, that is something that is truth. And to deny that or to minimize it or to pretend it didn't happen, whatever, that's going to cause the soul to not be able to go through its healing process. So that's why we have to be honest and truthful about the things that have happened to us. That's a part of the restoration of the soul. Now, to overcome and to be healed, we have to go through that process. And it really is just the maturation process. It's the overcoming process. That's what we overcome in the beginning. When Virginia was talking about how land, we've gained ground, where is that at? It's in you. The ground you've gained, the ground that you were have been holding now or supposed to hold, is in the realm of your soul. So that's what we're gaining. You're expanding. Those things, you're expanding in those dimensions. All right, now again, we're not going to walk in denial about the things that have happened to us. But we do have to begin to reframe how we talk about them. Okay? Now this is some of the stuff that Virginia said, being in the mind of Christ, let us receive the new mind of Christ. In doing that, we have to learn to reframe. Now, do you know what I mean by reframe? Okay, Hebrews 11:3, remember, by the words we speak, we frame things up in our world. Now, as a son has the ability to reframe it and to be seated in a place that has a completely different perception than someone who's earthbound. And if we speak from an earthbound place, what's going to happen? We're not going to have that perspective. Now, I'll get a little bit more into that, because remember, spiritual warfare takes place where? In our body and our soul. Okay? And our adversary can only touch us where there is agreement or a legal right through generational issues. I do not believe that. Now, every now and then he'll get a sucker punch. I'm not going to say he can't get a sucker punch. But our life is not a life of sucker punches. Okay, we don't have to live in that place. Now, in light of sonship, we are going to have a paradigm shift when it comes to warfare. Because most of our warfare has been taught from a place of separation rather than oneness with God. It really has. And out of that place of separation, we develop a mindset where there is me against them mindset, that there's an enemy always out there, that I have to fight something, or something is being done to me all the time. That's a place of separation and abandonment. And so we have to start looking at, when things begin happening internally, what really is going on. Because how we frame that is going to determine how we get out of it and what fruit comes out of it. Okay, so everybody kind of following me? All right, you may have questions because this is a little different. All right, now the glory light in Revelation, when the, like on the call, this is because this is so relevant to you guys that have been on the call, that you have been experiencing realms and dimensions and seeing things you haven't seen before, right? You just kind of been like, wow, there's a whole newness. And what's happening is you're being expanded because glory is coming into you. Now, do you know what glory does? It reveals darkness. It reveals darkness. Now, that's not an attack. That's deliverance. Okay, did you hear me? Because if you call it an attack, you're not going to get the right fruit out of it. But if you recognize it's deliverance, then you can get free. Do you see just that little spin on that? Okay, it's just a little bit of a spin. Because glory always, always, always reveals darkness. That's what it does. Light reveals darkness. Once it reveals it, it displaces it. All right, now, when we're framing our world, when it comes to darkness, how are we framing it? Okay, it's a challenge. This is where you've got to go, okay, all right, do I need to shift how I'm framing things out? Because, do you know we're called to be makers of peace? Because part of what I'm sharing tonight is the realm and dimension of peace and government. Because in Matthew 5:9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Not children of God, sons of God. So one of the assignments of sons is to bring peace everywhere we go. So we've got to get under that realm of peace and let peace emanate out of us. And we have to have a framework around us that we've spoken that can flow out of us. Now, the word peacemaker means to bring into harmony with the intent of God, is what that means. All right, now the process of framing, again, as the words that we speak, we frame up our world. That is a sonship reality. That's a function of sonship. It is to be a peacemaker because where are we? We're in Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. Now, and again, I believe what we call warfare a lot of time is actually God bringing deliverance to us. Now, it becomes warfare when we resist God doing what he wants to do in us. There will be a warfare then because we've allied with our enemy. Now, if God is bringing deliverance to an area of our life, it is a good thing, right? Okay? So, if we look at it as, wow, God is, glory came in, Yahoo, we love, yeah, I love the glory. And it revealed an area of my life where it was kind of not in right alignment with the intent of God. And I can look at that and go, wow, thank you. Do you see a different framework that, oh my God, the devil's attacking me, I got beat up? See, as sons, we have to reframe. Now, if I focus on what is being, listen to this, done to me, that's external, being done to me, I am operating out of a place of separation and not oneness. If I focus on what God is doing in me, I am operating out of oneness with Him. Okay, can you feel the difference in those two? Doing to me versus doing in me mindset. Those two things, one is a victim perception and one is an overcomer's perception. And then how do we frame that up after that? Now, if we aren't careful, the victim perception, and I have to admit, what I'm about to say is I had this mindset for a very long time. That I believed that when I followed God and I did what God wanted me to do, something bad was going to happen to me. I believed that if I followed God and obeyed God and did what He wanted me to do, something bad would happen to me. I believed that for a long time. And guess what? It did. Because I framed it up. But that's what I really thought. And I've had to really, really do some adjusting. And I don't always do this well. Okay, I'll acknowledge, I don't always do this well. I've had friends correct me and go, What are you saying? And I'd be like, oh, temporary insanity. I'm insane. I'm not in my right mind. Because Scripture is really clear, we are blessed when we walk with God. We're blessed when we walk with Him. Now, if we expect backlash, as a result of obeying God, guess what? We'll get it. Because we framed it. Now, I have a friend, Sandy Coos, sitting right over here. We used to do conferences and all this stuff. I mean, just crazy stuff with all the names and all that. And we'd be like, oh, my God, the backlash. And she'd be like, what are y'all talking about? Like, I ain't got no backlash. And we're like, well, but it wasn't a part of her thought process. I expected to get backlash because I had that mindset that something bad would happen to me. Because I'm doing God's will and the devil's out to get me. And I framed it up all the time. I framed it up what came out of my heart. I framed it up with my words. And I had to learn. Like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? Because there comes a point where you go, wait a minute, the Bible has to be true or not. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Okay, so you have to ask yourself, are you being attacked? Is it warfare or is it restoration? Okay, now honestly, it can be both. But how are you going to frame it? Because chances are, if God's doing something in you, it's going to stir some things around you. But what's your focus? How are we going to frame this now? Because it really will make all the difference. Okay, now this is an example. When you hear a familiar spirit say to you, you don't belong here, or nobody wants to hear what you have to say, there's a word there called rejoice. Okay, now is that hard to do? Yeah. When you feel your internal being going, mayday, 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 it's hard to have a mindset to rejoice. But you know what it says? Rejoice in your tribulations because you know the end result of that. You know the end result. Character, patience, Christ-likeness. Because once something is acknowledged and that inside of us that, you know, if I hear that familiar spirit telling me nobody likes me, you know, that spirit, you know, that familiar spirit of rejection, nobody likes me, nobody wants me around, if I can position myself to go, wow, thank you, Father, for showing that to me, because now I'm giving that to you so that you can overshadow it and it can get healed. That's the healing process. And you don't got to go 20 years of counseling. Every time it surfaces, to get it under the government of God so that he can overshadow it and heal us. Okay, now there's truth that we need to, remember we talked about things that are true? Well, there's truth that we need to, I think, consistently remind ourselves, and these are just a few. I am in God. I am in God. I am reconciled to God. Another one could be, God is not mad at me. I am one with God. I am at peace with God. I have the peace of God. And I am submitted to the government of God. Those are spiritual truth and realities that we have to learn. This is that reality that I'm going to live out down here. That's living out of heaven. Okay, Isaiah 9:7. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures. It says, of the increase, which means ever increasing, of his government and peace. His government and his peace is ever increasing. There is no end to it. Okay? You know the doom and gloomers that are out there saying the world's going to hell in a handbag? There may be parts of it that do, and it'll be because the sons didn't take their place. Now, his kingdom brings order and it establishes with justice and judgment. From that time forward, even forever. So we are under a government of peace. That peace brings order into and establishes our inner man. Now we have to be under his government. Now when you hear that term, under his government, that can sound, you know, we think about, you know, Congress and Senate and all that. What being under government means, and I think I'll get to it here in a second. Let me get to it. It deals with overshadowing. Now, overshadowing, we really have to come to a place of being under his government where he overshadows us. And I was just reading, it was in Genesis 1, I was just reminded, where it said how in the beginning he hovered over. That's what overshadowing is. So when we're in that place of chaos, we simply get under his overshadowing. And then he broods over us, bringing order and justice into our being. Okay, now the pattern of overshadowing, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, but the one that really he showed me tonight was the Genesis one, where he hovered over. In the beginning, there was darkness and void. Okay, that's that place in us that the glory hasn't come yet, that's out of order. It's chaotic. And we simply yield to him under that overshadowing in his government, and that he brings order to it. Okay, Luke 1:35, and this is where the angel answered and said to her, he's talking, I think, to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Okay, when Mary became impregnated with Yeshua, it was through the overshadowing of God. Okay, now how does that principle play out in our life? You know, all that revelation you just got on that 40 days? Those are seeds. inside of you. The revelation that the Lord is bringing to me about, you know, different things of the 13th and the, you know, the dimensions and the 12 houses and all that stuff, that's a seed form that I have to learn to be, to overshadow, to meditate on, to brood over, so that it can come to fruition. Because if we don't learn how to overshadow, then things aren't going to come into the earth, because it comes through overshadowing. It's kind of the upgrade of intercession, is what it is. Intercession, it was, we spoke it, declared it, but overshadowing is a whole different thing. Do you know why? Because you have to hold it in your heart. You hold something in your heart, and there it's nurtured, and it can come forth and grow. There are inventions that are tucked, that need to be tucked into our heart so they can come out into the earth. Okay, Matthew 17, 5 and 6. Talked about Jesus. It said, when he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. Now the word overshadowed, this is, I think I love this word. I just love it, love it, love it. It's it means to cast a shade upon, and it means to be enveloped in a haze of brilliancy. I get charged by that. I'm like, whoa, let me go get overshadowed and sit in that haze of brilliancy and be transformed. I'm tired of trying to change myself. I'm going to sit in that place of being overshadowed and let him transform me. It makes it a lot easier. And then there's this other word there. It's preternatural influence. I had to look that word up. It means to be beyond what is normal and natural. Okay, Yeshua overshadows us. The Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh overshadows us. And then we learn to overshadow our personal life, our public life, and our private life. We learn to overshadow that. And when that happens, guess what happens all around you? Peace. So everywhere you walk, you leave the dust and the glory of peace everywhere you go. We are peacemakers. We're peacemakers because we sit in that brilliancy and are transformed, and we learn to release that. So if your personal life is in a handbag, overshadow it. Sit in the presence of God, under his overshadowing. Let him overshadow that area of your life. Hold those things dear to your heart. Hold them there, and learn to nurture them by the Spirit. Okay, now I do believe that is a function of the heart. If you've been around any length of time, I believe the heart gate is probably the most instrumental gate that we need to have functioning. I think it everything comes out of the heart. This word talks about that. But here in Proverbs it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. That's a healing scripture. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I think that's as far as we'll go, because we're going to go back into worship for a little bit. And really, I just want to encourage, and, you know, I'm talking to me too, is what are things in our life that need to be hovered over? Nelson, you want to share that, what you got today? Yeah, I'm going to let Sandy share something. I think Sandy's been practicing this for a while. I'm not good at it. Virginia does it. I'm just not good at it. I'm learning, okay? I'm just going to, you know, when I do hover, it works, but I don't always conscious. I think more governmentally. And then that's what the Lord showed me. No, what government is about ultimately is overshadowing. So I'm going, oh, okay, that's much easier than the weight of government. Okay? And so today Sandy had a thing. So you want to come share it?
During our prayer time this morning, during the time of just praying in the Spirit, I usually start going up into my mountain, into his mountain, and in his government. Then I'm under his authority, and then the authority that he's given me. So I'm just praying in the Spirit, not thinking about anything. But our dear friend, Elizabeth, I've been holding her in my heart for many, many years. I mean, the Lord, I believe, I haven't had a connection with anybody like Virginia, Connie, Elizabeth, and me. Like the Lord put us together and knit our hearts together in love. And so we carry each other in our heart. I carry you guys in my heart even when I'm not here. I'm here and you're here. But anyway, I just think it's a beautiful picture of what Connie's talking about that the Lord showed me too. But Elizabeth came up, and she had been in the hospital, and I kind of thought, oh, yeah, I mean, she was on her mind, but what happened, I think going on 4 years now, it's coming up on 3 or 4 years, she lost her son, and we were with her through that. So she came up, because she's in my heart, I carry her in my heart. And I just saw her heart, her physical heart was just broken in two. And then as I just kept praying in the Spirit, and the picture unfolded in front of me what was happening, and this clear gold strand of light came and just started knitting her heart back together all around. And then it started going around the whole heart. And you know how a cocoon, the caterpillar, that thin thread comes and totally encompasses that caterpillar. And so it was clear gold light. And it was just like that thread. And her heart was totally encompassed with that gold light, clear gold light. Anyway, but it's just like this caterpillar is totally transformed into a butterfly. That's kind of mind-blowing, you know. But we have that picture. But this is what was happening with her heart. That it was being bound. It's like he binds up the brokenhearted. And it was just a picture because she was in my heart and I just brooded over her. I took her in, just like he does with us. He takes us in into his heart and he just broods over us. So I was just sitting brooding over her, and this is what was happening. And then I saw her and her after the heart was all bound up. Then I saw her and her husband in the same beautiful gold light strand was binding them together. And then once they were totally encompassed in that, then the next layer was her other son, his wife, and her two grandbabies. And then after that layer, it was like other family members. And anyway, it's just to me a picture of how he holds us and how we also can hold our loved ones in our heart and brood over him. And that way wasn't anything that I prayed or came up with, you know, that I need. It was just totally out of love and brooding that that came about.
So another thing Sandy was sharing with me, she has a son named Chris, and every time Chris gets in a bind, he calls Mama. And he always says, Mama, will you hover over it for me? Because he knows it works. He's seen it work because she holds him in her heart. And so my encouragement as we enter back into worship is, one, for individually for us to be in that place of him pulling us in, just pulling us in and letting him hover over us. Because it never hurts to do that. And we all need it. I mean, we just all need it. And then if there's a place in you that you really feel, wow, I have whatever it is, it can be any situation, that you just carry that and pull that into your heart and begin to hover over that. And I believe that there is a sound that will come out of us when we're over that, hovering over it. It's almost like a hum will come out of us. And that's the sound that it talked about brooding over, and then he said, let there be light. And see, as sons, we've got to realize this is what we're called to do. You know, we're so used to being told, oh, you just got to go out there and evangelize. Yes, you do. But there's a whole different way of evangelizing right now. I've knocked on so many doors and had so many doors closed in my face, but the people that he puts me in a relationship with, I can hover over them and their heart becomes...